Welcome to the Accidental Experts Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Hamilton, and I am a licensed clinical social worker, also known as a child and family therapist. I have been practicing for 15 years, and I'm also a mom of four. I pride myself on being an intentional expert. I have a passion for learning, helping, and changing lives. I'm so excited that you are here today. I know that this podcast will find people in lots of roles supporting children, teens, and family life. Please come as you are. My goal is to make you an accidental expert. I will be traveling with you on this journey, sharing loads of ideas, practical solutions to help you raise healthy humans. Hi, guys. Today we're going to talk about big feelings. And I have this amazing expert, Leah Matheson, who is going to talk to you about why feelings are important and how do we help our kids talk about them? How do we talk about them? And so she's going to share some tips and tricks and lots of really fantastic information. I think kids need a guide in this feelings part and they have a voice. We've heard it, right? They say, I'm so mad at you. You're the worst mom, or I hate you. Those things that our kids say to us when they are having really big feelings, or they're scared and they refuse to do the things that we want them to. So we're going to figure out how to give them the words to help them talk about how they're feeling. I want you to imagine the best boss that you've ever had. Or maybe you've never had a good boss. Hopefully you have. But if you haven't, the best boss you can imagine. They'd be somebody who is like kind and caring and compassionate and understanding. And parenting is kind of like being a boss, right? Our kids think that we're definitely in charge. They have no idea what it's like to be grown up yet. But we sometimes don't have those qualities when we come to the parenting platform. And we may be demanding and we may not allow them opportunity to be heard and we may be all business, but the best bosses, and I want to be the best boss or the best parent, is somebody who is kind and understanding, right? And they understand where we're coming from, or they want to understand where we're coming from. And this conversation around feelings will help us to be one of the tools in our tool belt to be the best parenting boss. And I think the thing that's hard about parenting is that it is an everyday job, right? Like, we've got to show up every day. And the outcome of that is great, but it's really hard. So being able to be a good boss who shows up on the daily is going to teach our kids that we're really invested in this. And I'm excited because Leah Matheson is here and she is an LCPC, which means licensed clinical professional counselor. And she's also an MDRIA. Is that how you say it?
MDRIA.
Yeah. MDRIA. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Certified EMDR therapist, which is a trauma kind of therapy. So she is a therapist who owns her own practice in Kansas City, and she is highly coveted for being an amazing therapist throughout the life span. And she's also a mom of a human and a dog. Two dogs, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Amazing. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Leah, for being here today. I am so excited to talk to you about feelings and why they matter. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. This is an exciting subject for me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get started. So let's start with talking about, like, why do feelings matter? Why do they matter? Can we just ignore them? And are there any bad feelings out there?
Yeah, those are great questions, because, like, I believe that feelings matter because they guide us, right? They guide how we behave, how we respond. And then we can get into, like, feelings are like a part of our cognitive process, right? And so that helps us throughout our lifespan. I think it's really hard to ignore them. And my son came up with a joke, right? Is like, how do I like my water? I like it bottled. How do I like my emotions? Or no, how's it going? Something like that. Like, how do I like my emotions? Like, I like my water bottled. That's how he said it. Yeah, and I feel like most people are going around bottling those feelings, and they don't know. And then all of a sudden they explode, right? Just like a soda, if you shake it. And so I think it's important that we try not to ignore them. And that's or, you know, exactly what we're talking about is like, how do we know how we're feeling? How do we name it? Yeah. And then I do think like bad feelings get a bad rap because like they're feeling, they may be uncomfortable, but they're not a bad, right? Because feelings guide us in our decision-making process. And so they can also protect us. And so, but they may not feel good. And so it's just kind of like they're more uncomfortable. So I don't know that there's so much of a bad feeling, but it's just knowing that feelings will pass too, like a wave, you know, they come and they'll go, and just trying to reframe it from being good and bad.
Yeah. So I think when people think about bad feelings, they're thinking about things like anger and anxiety, right? Those kind of get the worst rap. Sadness, right? Those ones mm-hmm. get the worst. Something I have heard about anger is that it's always a secondary emotion. What does that mean? What is a secondary emotion? How does that work?
Okay. Well, you just like, I think I even caught myself as we tend to use emotions and feelings interchangeably, and they're not like emotion.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah. Emotions are like, they're just like kind of raw and they just naturally occur. We have like six to eight, depending on who you're talking to, basic emotions. And that is your like, fear, anger, happy, sad, joy. And what is the other one? Surprise, and of course, disgust, right? And then we have the new movie coming out that has anxiety, right?
In
the,
yes, I'm so excited. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have those basic emotions. And what happens is that's in our body. It's usually felt within our heart. And then our body, our brain ties a cognitive, like a process to it. And also our body senses it to turn it into a feeling. And so I know that we use emotions and feelings interchangeably, but we really shouldn't. And I really catch myself a lot of the times trying to stop that because it's very confusing. So back to your first question, are we talking about emotions or feelings? What was your question?
So what I did actually want to know the difference between the emotions and feelings. And you said a word or a phrase that I wanted us to clarify. What is a cognitive process? What does that mean exactly?
Okay. Well, that is just our body taking our thought process, right? Our brain connecting it, to that emotion, and it ties it from like the history, like if something we already know, and like, it's kind of like when we were earlier on and we were trying to survive, if we didn't remember that that path had a tiger down it, like we would die. And mm-hmm. so that emotion, like, so we would have that thought process tied to that emotion of like, oh, this is danger. I need to choose a different path. And without emotion, we can't make decisions. And so that emotion piece that just naturally occurs, is that helps us decide on what to do with that feeling. And that, and so the thought process is a different part of the brain versus it's more of our like prefrontal cortex and tying in some of that with our, you know, help me out there. What are we tying that
into? So we're, what I think I hear you saying is we have these experiences and they tell our brain something about what we experienced. And so then there are feelings that get tied to those memories that help us to take that information and apply it to other situations. Is that what we're saying?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for wrapping that up for me.
Yeah. No problem.
Yeah.
It helps to have a therapist on the other side of this, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, can you imagine what it would be like to take therapists out on a date? I bet it is like crazy, right? They're like, oh my God, she is totally interpreting me right now. And we are.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Absolutely.
okay. So we were talking about, so we're saying feelings are the thing that happen afterwards. That's what we're calling the thing afterwards. But the emotion is the thing that happens that we can't control. Correct?
Yes. That's okay, correct. Cool. Yes.
So I was saying that are there bad feelings? And I think we said no, there's just uncomfortable ones and ones that we don't know what to do with. And then I ask about anger and it being a secondary feeling. I think that's the way I wanted to ask that question. Okay. Now that we've clarified what all that means.
Okay. Yes. And I guess that could be seen as a secondary feeling because you have that emotion that pops up. Mm-hmm. And it just depending on, I guess, how you perceive it, right? And that's where we can have misperceptions and where that feeling could be bad or not bad, but it could feel uncomfortable because we're processing, we're thinking it in a different way when it's actually not that way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we can tap in to, you mentioned like changing our feelings, which we can help ourselves kind of pivot out of it or help ourselves like feel that and let it go and move on. So I think that's a part of it too, is how do we, if we have that awareness of what we're feeling, we can correct it or we can help ourselves. If we are having that sad feeling, we can make choices that don't make it worse. Or we can, depending on what we want to do with that. So I think it gives us a lot of power over our lives and a power over our relationships and our quality of living.
Yeah. So something I was thinking about when I asked that question is I often see kids in my practice who have a lot of anger. And I think I see that they're functioning with that anger in order to kind of protect themselves from feeling the other feelings that they don't want to feel. And so it's almost like it helps them to mask and push the feeling out of their body versus having to feel it inside. And so then it kind of saves them from feeling anxious or sad. And so then anger almost is protection. And I think a lot of parents see their kids being angry. Do you see that in your practice too? Lots of kids that have big feelings, especially anger?
Yes. Yeah, I see that, big feelings. And I think if we get into what you're talking about there, you know, we're talking about the cognitive process and what is that? And when we have those big feelings or we have anger, a lot of times if I get kind of deep is the amygdala and the like fight or flight, fight, flight or shut down, right? Freeze, fight, flight or freeze. Mm-hmm. And that's our system. That's our protective system, right? And you just talked about like we get angry to protect ourselves. It's a lot easier to be angry at people than it is to be sad, right? Yes. And with our kiddos, with our young ones, and even our adults, they get triggered into that anger where, again, we can help them if we're naming it to help them through that. I think that's another piece of it is noticing that sometimes that anger, when it's triggered, again, with anxiety or fear, or angry, that it's triggered and it's out of their control at some point because we have that system that protects us into the fight or flight or freeze.
Yeah. Okay. So we won't get too deep into the neurocognitive science. No, it's okay. It's very fascinating to me, but, I think why is it important for adults in kids' lives to talk about feelings? Like, why do they also, or do they? Do adults need to talk about feelings?
Yes.
What are your thoughts, Leah?
I believe they need to talk about their feelings more, right? Mm-hmm. I also believe that they need to know how they feel. They need to know what they're experiencing so that they can help their children or they can help regulate themselves and then help regulate their children. And I find it too often that we're not talking about our feelings enough. And that we actually, I have a lot of parents and even friends and just people I observe out in the world that like, they don't talk about their feelings. They'll actually be crying and tell the young humans, they'll be like, I'm okay. There's nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to see and hear. So I think we need to talk more about our feelings and not bottle them up. Because the more we talk about our feelings, the easier, the less emotional reactivity we have going on. And we're able to calm.
Yeah, sorry. Do you think that kids notice what their parents or like important adults in their lives are feeling, even if they don't name it? So if I'm crying and I say to my kids, I'm fine, mommy's fine, this is all fine, but I'm not, do you think they're believing me?
Yeah, that is a good question. And I deal with this because like we want them to be able to trust themselves and trust us, right? Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing about kids is they believe their parents over them. And they've been actually, since like even in utero, or if they're like, you know, depending on who their parent is, they've been knowing our emotion and feelings before we know them most of the time. And then when they're born with the other parent that didn't, if they didn't carry them, then they see them. So they've been watching our faces. They've been watching our body language. They know our breath and our heartbeat and our smells. And so they usually, I call them our thermometers. Like, we can walk in the door and they know what we're feeling probably before we do, because a lot of times we're so busy and caught up in the world that we're not even paying attention to what's going on with us. And our jobs as parents are actually to be the thermostat, right? We're supposed to help regulate the temperature for our children, but a lot of times they're actually our thermometer, you know, they're capturing us. And so when we tell them something that isn't true, they absolutely know. They know. Yeah. And the crazy part is, they mistrust themselves. Mm-hmm. And so internally they're like, oh my God, I'm wrong. My mom's right. And so they start mistrusting themselves, and we certainly don't want that for them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating. I think, you know, what's hard is that sometimes parents don't want to share their feelings because they're afraid of their kids like feeling the feeling that their parents feeling, like they don't want to upset them, or they don't want them to have a feeling about how the parent is feeling. And so they do that. Can you speak to that? Like, should we tell our kids when we're sad? Should we not? Should we tell them when we're upset? Should we tell them when we're scared?
Yeah. I think there's like a fine, I think there's like no right or wrong answer. I think looking at it as what's age appropriate, because like sometimes we overshare and sometimes we undershare, and trying to meet them at their developmental level. And that might be more of the, yeah, mommy is sad to younger, you know, and not explaining all the details, and maybe not explaining all the details, but it's giving that appropriate, like a normal kind of response, and knowing that we may make mistakes. I make them all the time, where I may overshare or may undershare and have to come back and go, you know what? I was really upset, right? But they probably already knew that, because like I'm doing something that indicates I'm upset. I'm like, no, I'm not upset. And then clearly I am.
Yeah. 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 So we could do something with like littler kids to say like, yeah, mommy's really sad today. I had a hard day at work. Or, you know, I had a fight or a disagreement, or I wasn't getting along with a friend, right? We could share that basic things, is kind of what you're saying. It's like, we could say we are just sad, or we could tie it to something, but keeping it more basic instead of getting mm-hmm. into the details to kind of pull them down. I think that's maybe where the things go awry, right? Where parents are like, I don't want them to be holding my feelings, but maybe it's when we overshare that then it's too much for them to handle.
That seems fair. And also knowing, if we're able to read our children, right, if we're in tune with like our emotions and our feelings, that emotional literacy, right, that if they're having a rough day, or they're not in a good space, we would down it a little bit too, right? Or we would try to like regulate that for them. Yeah. But definitely agree, depending on what's going on in the situation, and just figuring out what's the best for like their level and what they can handle.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so tell me, we just talked about adults sharing their feelings. How do we get kids to start talking about their feelings? Because a lot of families in the United States, I think, especially, but I don't know abroad, but I think feelings are not something that we really talk about, right? Until they're like big and on fire in front of us. And then we talk about them, but we don't tend to do it a lot. So like, how do we start this conversation?
Yeah. So hopefully we can start it from the beginning, right? Or as soon as possible. And again, you and I are like, my child's been my guinea pig, right? My test baby. And I just have one. So he's really, you know, in for it. But we can do this from the beginning, when we're, you know, making silly faces with them. And we're also modeling it. So I think to get them to share, depending on their age, you can ask them, right? Or we're reading books and we're pointing out, oh, look at that feeling faces. We're using the dialogue. But again, some families are uncomfortable with this and feelings aren't talked about. But a lot of times the schools are bringing it in. And so that's really cool too. But it's like, talking about, I guess you can ask depending on their age, but you can only ask them how they feel. Mm-hmm. And then again, if you're wrong, they're going to tell you, like, that's, you can wonder, or like you name like what you're seeing and they can be like, no, I'm not mad. I'm really sad. You know, like they'll, mm-hmm. they often correct us. So I think that's a way to share. And just kind of using what's around you, you know, we talked about we're observers, so we can use like what we're seeing when we're ice skating, or, you know, like what we're seeing while we're eating dinner. Also making, like, I think I said that, like making silly faces and saying, what's this feeling? What am I feeling? And doing some kind of silly stuff like that. Some ideas I use.
Yeah. And I think also you could talk about something that I use in my practice is sometimes where we pick a feeling where we're going to be like, what is something that makes you feel this feeling? And I think happy is the easiest feeling to start with. Do you agree? Right.
Yes.
When we're introducing something. Yeah. Happy is like easier for kids and grownups to talk about. Right. Yeah. And so like things that make them feel happy. And so that kind of opens the door, but also like watching movies, right? Like you can point something out. I think the Feelings movie is fantastic and gives you that opportunity to kind of like start that conversation with your kid. But I think books are great and they have simple ones and more complex ones. And if you're reading a chapter book with your older elementary or early middle school teen, or preteen, you might have characters in the book where you could be like, what do you think they're feeling? Like, what is going on for that character right now? Like, how do you think they're feeling about this situation with the dragon or whatever? And see what they think. And then it's not so personal when we're keeping it outside. Do you think that's true?
Yes, I think that's, yeah, absolutely. I'm wondering what they're, you know, what happened to make them feel that way, just going that extra step.
Yeah, that's great to connect the pieces of like, and why, right? Like, what are they feeling and why? And also you can say like, what told you that? Right. Like to see what the trigger was that helped them to identify, well, they're happy because they were just laughing with their friends in the hallway. Right. Or they're scared because they're hiding from the dragon. Right. Like that would be the reason. Yeah. That's cool. And then I think that makes a neural network. Right. It's creating this pathway that we're able to talk about feelings more easily to bring them up. Thank you, Leah, for all of that amazing information about feelings. We so appreciate you being here. And thank you for being here. I hope that learning about the importance of feelings has been helpful and that you'll go back into your life and start talking with your kids about your feelings and their feelings and all the feelings. I wanted to take a moment to talk about the takeaways I'd like for you to leave this podcast with. The first one is grownups have to model the way that we want kids to talk about feelings. We have to do it preventatively and often. The second thing is I want you to think about repairing when you make a mistake. That's also modeling, but it's so important to our overall relationship with our kids to repair, fix it, do it now. Don't let it grow into something else. The next thing is that feelings, they're all important. Even if we don't like them, it's important for us to give them space. There's a book by Helen Oxbury that is called We're Going on a Bear Hunt. And there's a phrase in that that really always sticks with me. It says, we can't go over it. We can't go under it. We've got to go through it. And the good news is that with feelings, they do pass and they won't last forever. Thank you so much for being here today. And thank you for taking the time to subscribe and share this show with your friends. If there's things that you would like for us to cover or topics that you're curious about or you have comments or questions, please email those to accidentalexperts@gmail.com. Have a fantastic day. Some words from our legal team.
The information presented in this podcast is not intended or implied to be a substitute for appropriate professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content, including text, graphics, images, and information contained on or available through this podcast, is for general information purposes only. This podcast makes no representations and assumes no responsibility for the accuracy or information on or available through this podcast, and such information is subject to change without notice. You are encouraged to confirm any information obtained through this program with other sources and review all information regarding any condition or treatment with the appropriate professionals.
What we're saying is, yes, I am a real therapist, but I'm not your therapist.